Hello, I'm Tommy Peeler, and this is our podcast, Carefully Examining the Text. And today in our podcast, we want to look at the text of Psalm 22. Psalm 22 begins dramatically, my God, why have you forsaken me? We recognize those words from Jesus on the cross. What we're seeking to do in this podcast is to talk about the text of Psalm 22. What we want to do in the next podcast, Lord willing, is to talk about the New Testament use of this particular psalm. I want you to notice in the context of the psalm that the psalm goes back and forth between sections that emphasize I and me, that stress the speaker's situation, and then sections that are stated you, that are addressed to God. For example, in verses 1 through 2, the writer explains his dilemma, and then in verses 3 through 5, he talks about God and his nature and what he has done in the past. We'll continue to make this point as we go throughout the psalm. But the psalm begins, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are words of my groaning. O my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. In this particular psalm, the author feels that he has been forsaken, abandoned by God. Now, it is hard to fit my God and forsaken in the same sentence, but here he feels that he has been forsaken or abandoned by his God. God seems far away. He is far from the words of his groaning, as verse 1 says. And God is silent. In verse 2, I cry, but you do not answer. By the way, if you remember the Psalms contextually or look at them contextually, as we've been trying to do, there has been a great emphasis on God answering the king in Psalm 20, for example. Psalm 20 stressed that idea in verse 1 and verse 6 and verse 9. But now he cries out and he receives no answer. God is silent and God is remote. You remember how the prophets of Baal cried out in 1 Kings chapter 18, O Baal, save us! But after they cried out, there was no voice and there was no answer. And then after they cut themselves and cry louder and become more frantic, still there was no voice and there was no answer. Have you ever cried out to God and it felt the same way? That God was far away and that it seemed that he was completely silent in response to your prayer, a prayer from which you needed an answer right now? Verses 1 and 2 explain the writer's dilemma, David's dilemma, and verses 3 through 5 show that the history of Israel talks about a God who has delivered Israel, and he doesn't understand, David doesn't understand God's deliverance in the past and yet failing to deliver him in the present. In verse 3, yet you are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel, in you our fathers trusted, they trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were delivered. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. So the history of Israel has been a history of the people crying out to God in the time of their crisis and God rescuing them. That is true of the Exodus. That is true of the book of Judges. The people cried out in time of crisis and God delivered them. The history of Israel doesn't match with David's present situation. They were delivered when they cried out. He has continued to cry out. As verse 2 stated, he cried out by day and cried out by night, and yet still there was no answer. How can it be that the God who has delivered time and time again grows deaf in our hour of crisis? How can that be? After discussing how the fathers cried out and were delivered, he once again focuses on his circumstance in verses 6 through 8 to talk about how he is despised and mocked. The past glories of God's answer to his people's prayer only increase his present pain. I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men, and despised by the people. So he is reproached and he is despised. He feels hated by all the people and mocked as almost subhuman. And we'll see this in Psalm 69, the same kind of feeling. In verse 7, all who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip. They wag the head, saying, "Let yourself commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him if he delights in him." So in verses 1 and 2, I have poured out my heart in your silent. But this doesn't fit the past experiences of Israel in verses 3 through 5. They cried out and were delivered. And yet I am regarded in verses 6 through 8 as less than human, a reproach of man, and despised by the people. And the people are mocking him, and they're saying, "Let God rescue him. Let God rescue him if he delights in him." You know why that hurts sometimes? That hurts a lot of times because when unbelievers mock and say, "If God delights in you, let him rescue you," because we think the same thing. We think, surely, if God delights in us, he will rescue us. And we think that sometimes for good reason. You may remember this connection was made in Psalm 18. In Psalm 18, verse 19, "He rescued me because he delighted in me." And so there the psalmist connects God's delight in him with God's rescue. David connects those ideas in Psalm 18. And now in Psalm 22, the enemies are taunting him and the enemies are saying, "Let God rescue him if he delights in him." But verses 9 through 11 once again express his need for God's help and how he's placing his trust in God. He says in verse 9, "You are he who brought me forth from the womb and made me trust upon my mother's breast. Upon you I was cast from birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help." In verse 9, God is almost pictured as the midwife who brought him forth from the womb. And we see that he has been trusting in God from his earliest moments of life. Now, I would like for you to do something. If you have ever thought that Psalm 51, verse 5, teaches that we're born in sin, I would ask you to look at this passage. And does this teach us that we're born trusting God? If we can have a doctrine of original sin from Psalm 51, can we have a doctrine of original trust from Psalm 22, verses 9 and 10? I would state that this is part of the language of the book of Psalms. It uses hyperbole, it uses emphasis to stress its point. In Psalm 51, which was a psalm where the writer is acknowledging his sin and confessing his guilt, he stresses that he had been sinful from his earliest days in dramatic words. And in Psalm 22, verses 9 and 10, in this psalm where he is stressing his trust in God, he uses language also from his earliest days to emphasize God, I've always trusted you. I've always leaned upon you. And now, please don't be far away when trouble is near, in verse 11. And verse 11 introduces us to a dangerous combination, the combination of near troubles and a faraway God. That is a dangerous situation. But in verses 12 through 18, once again, the writer explains his dilemma, and he uses several metaphors and similes to talk of his foes. His foes are strong bulls. His foes are dogs, and they are lions. All this language used to speak of them. In verse 12, many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. In verse 16, he will talk about the dogs have surrounded him. In verse 13, it is the lions that he mentions. They open wide their mouth as a ravening and roaring lion. While God may seem far away, in verse 11, his enemies have surrounded him and encircled him, in verses 12 through 16. His enemies are absolutely everywhere. In verse 14, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax is melted within me, and his strength is dried up, in verse 15. And notice in verse 15, he says, you lay me in the dust of death. This is the only time in this psalm that he attributes his difficulties to the Lord. But you lay me in the dust of death. In verse 17, I can count all my bones. They look, they stare, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. It is as if they cannot wait for him to die so they can have the last of his possessions. Think about those words. And again, he makes a plea to God in verses 19 through 21. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O you, my help, hasten to my assistance. I like the way he speaks of God as his helper in verse 19. In verse 11, he's looking to God when there is none other to help. We sing a song that states these words, when other helpers fail and comfort flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. Be my help. Hasten to my assistance. In verse 20, deliver my soul from the sword, my only life from the power of the dog. Deliver me from the sword. Deliver me from the dog. In verse 21, save me from the lion's mouth, the horns of the wild oxen. You answer me. Verse 22, with the statement, you answer me, it is most generally understood not as a plea, but as a statement. In verse 21, this particular verb, you answer, is a perfect, and it indicates completed action. And it is not an imperative calling on God to answer. What I'm saying is this. I'm not saying this well. What I'm saying is this. It's the first indication God has heard. God has answered. And then everything from verses 22 through 20 for 31 are going to stress praise to God. You probably, if you have followed the podcast, become used to the fact that prayers of lament often end in praise. But I want you to see not just that lament ends in praise, but that the praise at the end of the psalm is connected with the lament earlier in the psalm. In verse 22, 22 through 31 is this final praise. I will tell of your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. So now we have changed the mood totally, and he is praising God and glorifying him in the midst of the assembly. In verse 23, you who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him. In verse 24, he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither has he hidden his face from him, but when he cried to help for help, he heard. In verse 6, David was despised, but in verse 24, God has not despised him. In verse 2, he cried out to God, and God did not answer. But in verse 24, he has not hidden his face. And when he has cried out to God, God heard. Not only does this praise reverse the lament of the earlier verses, but it specifically reverses or specifically uses language to answer that lament, that God has heard his cry, that God has not despised him. And this is going to end on such a universal note of all people because of this turning to Israel's God. In verse 27, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will worship before you. So this is going to affect all families, all nations. In verse 28, the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth will eat and worship, and all those who go down to the dust will bow before him. Notice this praise is even going to include the prosperous in verse 29. It included the poor and the afflicted in verse 26. But it includes the prosperous in verse 29. It includes those who are going to die in verse 29, or maybe those who've already died. God's dominion goes over all nations and all peoples from all nations and all who have ever lived. In verse 30, posterity will serve him, and it will be told to the Lord of the coming generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born. He has performed it. The works of God, the deliverance of God, the salvation of God is going to be told to generation, and the message will fill the earth. Usually at the end of these podcasts, we have a section of how the psalm relates to Jesus. We're not going to do this today. Lord willing, in our next podcast, this subject is so vast, Psalm 22 is so full of information along this line, we're going to reserve it for our next podcast. How do we look at Psalm 22 in light of Jesus? But if you are one who has cried to God, you have cried to God day and night, and it seems that God has not answered. Take heart from the end of this book that God will hear your cry. If you are truly trusting in Him and walking in Him, that God will hear your cry, and God will one day answer it, and God will one day turn your lament into praise. Thank you for listening, and may the Lord continue to bless you.